Ryan, I went to the Gopher game against Rhode Island, and I wore some home field apparel. And Ryan, I got a number of great comments, told a couple of listeners in the tailgate lot to use the promo code GG24. And they said, yeah, we know. But they said, do they have my specific college football team for college football? What's the video game? I can't even remember the name.
The NCAA question, 25 is yes. What you're looking for, Mr. Elite College Mind.
Here's the thing. I don't play video games. You know this. But here's the thing. The one guy wanted Tulane, and he was so stoked they had Tulane gear.
So the
I'm dead serious. Tulane, of all teams, he wanted Tulane. The Gopher fan wants Tulane. But he was very stoked, and he's going to use our promo code.
We love that for him. So whether you're looking for some maroon for the gold out with the upcoming night game on NBC against the Iowa Hawkeyes, or whether you have an obscure favorite Sun Belt team like Tulane, they have got apparel for you. So what I want you to do, put into the Google machine home field apparel and find all of the gear that you want. And once you get the checkout, use the promo code GG, the numbers 24, and get 15% off your first order.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to Nevada Week as your Golden Gopher Squad returns to an actual TV channel that you don't have to actually use a streaming device for on Big Ten Network as the Gophers play host to what I believe is one of the most improved teams in college football so far. In the Nevada Wolf Pack from the Mountain West. So this is, Luke, I tell you, when we did the preview episode about a month ago now, I was not bullish on Nevada. They were dreadful. They'd won four games the last two seasons. They were breaking in a brand new head coach in Jeff Choate. Their offensive coordinator missed the entire spring because he was battling cancer. I mean, it was going pear-shaped for them in the offseason, and then they've actually played three games already. They're one of three teams in college football to have already played three games. They joined SMU and I believe Georgia Tech in that regard. But while their record may say 1-2, they somehow found a way last week, Luke, to run 87 offensive plays and only score 17 points. We'll get into how and that could possibly be, but it's going to be an interesting game this weekend, Mr. Luke Buer. Are you going to be in attendance in back-to-back weeks?
I don't know that I'm going to be able to make this one. I'm going to try and make it. This was the one that I had kind of circled as my potential try and get a credential and annoy the heck out of you. But I actually don't think that's going to happen, much to the disappointment of the number of people that have reached out to me said that would be kind of funny. But yeah, I'm just excited that this looks like this looks like it's going to be an actual ball game that'll be much more interesting than you thought early in the season, Ryan. I'm interested to get your perspective and figure out, you know, what it's going to look like for the Gophers to find a way and find a path to be able to get a victory. But before we do that, I think the things we need to be able to touch on is injuries. You are the official unofficial depth chart for Gopher football. Are you the only one that keeps a depth chart for the record?
I don't know what other people do. I would say I keep a track of, or at least a log now, of who's warming up where in warm-ups, yada, yada, yada. But I'd also say, before we get to injuries, Luke, guess what is next weekend that we now know the game time
and
the TV channel for?
The Iowa game, which I think I know you have affectionately coined as the drunkest game in Huntington Bank Stadium.
I definitely stole that from somebody on Parent Spare. Okay. I don't remember which one of those two. What I'm trying to think of an old-timey term to call them. Those two hoodwinks.
I mean, they're gentlemen, right?
Like they're right. With a 6:30 p.m. kick for Gophers versus Iowa next weekend, I do believe with the tailgate lots opening at 12:30 p.m., 6 hours ahead of game time, it's probably going to be the drunkest game in terms of fans, hopefully not play on the field in Huntington Bank Stadium history. But I'm also trying to think what games would rival that.
I mean, maybe the College Game Day one when Wisconsin came. I kind of doubt the Michigan one because of COVID.
I think that Wisconsin 2019 game
could have
probably right.
Yeah.
If only just to warm people up, considering it was a late November game, but there was obviously a ton on the line as well. It is going to be a ruckus environment between angsty Hawkeye fans who just saw their favorite team lose to Iowa State. The invalid signal, which if you haven't already, I highly encourage going to invalidsignal.com to see what happens from there. Thanks to a GI member for that little tidbit.
This guy now two times in a row has bought domains and just crushed it. Just, oh man.
See, perfect. This is what our generation should be, Luke. And I'm talking about you and me as millennials. I assume the man is a millennial, that he has the wherewithal, or maybe he's just technology savvy, where he probably knows that he works in tech and he's buying domains, aka URL space.
Here's a question for you, Ryan. How many domains do you own that you haven't done anything with? Because I can tell you how many I own if you give me just a minute to log in.
I only own a couple, but how many do you own and why?
Just little like project ideas that I've thought of building.
How many domain names do you own, Luke Buer?
I own 8 ballpark right now.
8?
Yeah.
We're going to get into this once we
some other time. At one point,
I'm curious what these ventures are, but you are Mr. Tech Startup Guy.
At one point, I did own wifi.fail, which I had a clever idea, and I forgot to renew it. And so that one is now, last I looked, they wanted a lot of money for that one. I wish I would have sat on that. But, you know, this is how Mark Cuban got rich.
You know, things I didn't think we were going to get into on this episode, and I'm sure the listeners didn't as well. Mark Cuban reference on this Gopher football
podcast. He's an Indiana guy, right? You know, he is footing the bill for the 77 points. So
he certainly is. I mean, it's 8 domains. So interesting. But I guess the thing I wanted to note before we got to injuries, Luke, is the Iowa Hawkeye game. I know a lot of you have been asking, when is it? We were spot on with this early in the season, by the way, that the rumor was NBC night game. Guess what it is? On September 21st, an NBC night game, 6:30 p.m. kickoff for Gophers versus Iowa.
Yeah, it's gonna be a raucous environment. I was talking to people in the tailgate lots when I was there, just how excited they are and the opportunity that this would be a night game. And again, this technically I think is still late September, and the forecast has been great. I mean, this is just everything.
Warm, boy.
It is for you. You got to be dying.
It's 85 degrees today as we're recording this on Wednesday, and I look at the long term forecast for the rest of the month. I know that some of you don't do that, but they're saying well above average temperatures into the end of the month, which, number one, for you and all of our farming community out there, which if there's any people who own some pieces of property and want me to come take care of their waterfowl or deer, you know how to get a hold of me. But Luke, I would imagine that for the beans or the corn out in the fields right now, they should have a pretty good moisture content for when you guys are harvesting here at the end of the month. It might be an early harvest, even after all the rain we got.
Yeah, the moisture content is something we're going to pay attention to. It's going to be interesting. It's finally going to be dry after a monsoon of a summer. But yeah, okay, let's get to injuries, though, Ryan. I am curious to know. This is something that always plays an integral facet to, you know, the outcome of games. Darius Taylor did play in this last game. That was one we were monitoring, but there are other ones we're monitoring as well. So who do you have your eye on, and who are you going to be looking to see if they're warming up on Saturday?
There's a couple of guys on the defensive side of the ball, both of them in the secondary, one by Jayonte McMillan, who is a transfer that Minnesota took from TCU. You saw him play quite a bit in the first 20 minutes of the game against North Carolina. But then he got banged up, did not return. He did not end up dressing for last week's game against Rhode Island. And I know that he's someone that they had big plans for in terms of the way they wanted to use him within the Gopher secondary. He's kind of that nickel type of player where you've seen Jack Henderson on early downs, Justin Wally on passing downs. They want to do some different things with him there. I watched him warm up quite a bit before the game with the training staff. So he looked like he was moving pretty well. I'd imagine that they're going to try to get him back in this game. And then it becomes the curious case of Darius Green, who...
Oh, yeah. He didn't... He was like... I think I saw him in uniform, but... Or maybe not. Was he in
uniform?
It's
a very curious case, Luke. I'd say this. I don't understand why he was listed or not listed on the availability report, because my sources behind the scenes say that he hasn't been practicing with the varsity squad essentially at any point here leading up to that Rhode Island game. He'd been recovering from some off the field type of situations. I'm not saying that he was in trouble or anything like that, just an injury that he sustained that wasn't football related. And then I don't know if he's banged up with something else. This is why I get so frustrated with injuries, Luke, is because this question could be easily nullified if the media, myself included, would know that PJ Fleck would give a clear answer. Instead, any question as a media member you ask him, you'll find out 2 hours ahead of time. So now we're left to recklessly, quote unquote, recklessly speculate about what's going on. He did not have his helmet during the game. He's Minnesota's starting strong safety from last year. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a small section of the fan base that isn't too high on Aiden Goosby for whatever the reason.
I thought he's played well.
I'd encourage you to go back and look at how Jordan Howden did as a young, strong safety in this defense. But I don't know what the story is. I just know that the reps haven't exactly been there in practice. I'm going to assume he's battling that same injury that I'll remind people he had off back in late November of last year. Darius Green gets cleanup surgery. He's out for the bowl game, does not go through a full practice at any point in the spring. And then at any point while the media was there until the final practice, to my understanding, that day in mid-August was his first padded practice of the entire year.
Huh.
I'm talking 8.5 months of not hitting someone. Now, they're still football players, but it's trying to get him back, I'm assuming, into game shape, getting him to whatever standard they need to. But those are the two I'm going to be watching. Does Jayonte McMillan come back? Is Darius Green listed on the if he's listed on the availability report this week but not last week, I just want to burn the entire report to the ground.
I mean, because humans do make mistakes, but I get your point.
I'd also say the last one is Quentin Redding.
Yeah, yeah.
I have not heard good news there, which, again, I'd love to be able to tell you definitively, but PJ Fleck and his refusal to answer anything injuries related, I'd say this. I have not heard good news on Quentin Redding, which is very unfortunate for him. He has been the primary returner for this team since 2022. I don't anticipate him playing in this game. And if that's going to be the case, you're going to see some new return guys out there, both on punt and kick. We'll get to that in a little bit. But those would be the three that I'm watching. As far as I'm aware, they're pretty healthy on the offensive side of the ball now.
All right. So that's good for us to go into. Why don't we catch a quick break here, and then we'll jump into the offensive preview and defensive preview, and then close it out. Ryan, if you have a house to sell, maybe you have a friend that has a house to sell and you're a massive Gopher fan, there's only one choice. It's Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group. And why is that, Ryan? Well, we live in the day and age of the transfer portal and NIL. And if you want to make a donation but you don't want to fork over the money yourself, Team Dinkytown will take a portion of their commission, 1% of the total purchase price, and give that to Dinkytown athletes, to the team of your choice. And you know what, Ryan? They do a great job covering the state of Minnesota.
They certainly do. And as someone who has bought a home here in the last few years, I know how confusing it is. I know how scary it is for some people to sell a house as well, and you need somebody you can trust. So if you're looking for somebody and you want to check somebody out that can help out your favorite college team, go to teamdinkytown.com today, or you can give them a call at 612-250-8562.
Ryan, I'm never sure how much I can trust infographics on Twitter or X, but one of them that I saw the other day is that car insurance is going astronomically high. And you know what? This is the time that the Burns Insurance Agency could help you out, because they're going to work for you.
It's the beauty of an independent insurance agency, Mr. Luke Buer. And that's where just this past week, my father at the Burns Insurance Agency helped A young couple switched their home and auto over to him. And guess what? They saved themselves over $500 in doing so. You know all the effort they had to do? All they had to do was either check him out online at insurancebyburns.com or just shoot him an email, bill@insurancebyburns.com. Because I'll remind people, not only is he licensed in the great state of Minnesota, both of the Dakotas, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, New York, Florida, and Utah. So if you think you're paying too much for your home, auto, commercial, your boat, whatever it may be, and you're thinking, I want to see if a Gopher fan can help me out, go to insurancebyburns.com.
All right, Ryan, let's chat about when the Gophers are on offense. You know, this is a Gopher team that we've seen really start to throw the ball in that second game. They did this pretty effectively. And I'm just curious, you know, what do you think is going to lead to success for this Gopher team? You know, not only just in this game, but going into the Big Ten season at large.
I think in an ideal world, you'd find something resembling a running game against Nevada. But I would tell you that the path of least resistance, at least on paper, would be through the air again, where you look at the advanced analytics, and I know I don't want to steal too much of Luke's thunder, which I'll let to him get to the specifics here in a bit, but they are much less efficient in their pass defense versus they are in stopping the run. They're about league average across college football in stopping the run. They are well below average against the pass. So you'd like to think that Minnesota figures out their offensive line combination for this week. If you had to ask me, I would say that it's the same left tackle, the same left guard, the same center. But I will say Ashton Beers, the pride of Wisconsin, gets his first career start at right guard. Quinn Carroll remains out at right tackle. It wouldn't shock me to see them rotate in some bodies, because that was the interesting part of Monday's press conference with PJ. We're going to find out how much of it was smoke and mirrors or not. But he compared this 2024 offensive line, at least at this point, to the 2019 one, where you'll remember they rotated Blaze Andrews in a multitude of different spots. They rotated Connor Olson with John Michael Schmitz at center. But if you're going to be rotating, my question is, does that mean Martez Lewis is going to be back in the mix? Which I have no ill will against the pride of Merrillville, Indiana. I just think at this point, there's a lot of chapters written in that story, and there's not many for Ashton Beers yet, and I'd like to see more of Beers, which that'd be a heck of a dinky to, by the way, if this happens and he's a starting offensive lineman now for the remainder of the season, I wish we knew somebody at what's that place called, I don't know, Dinky Town Athletes, and think of an NIL idea, which includes, I'm not sure, maybe a shirt or a jersey with the last name of Beers on the back, because I'd imagine there will be a person or two that would want to buy that.
Yeah, I think just for their tailgate, right? Like, not even just for him, but just for their tailgate. But absolutely.
We'll be supporting Ashton Beers.
Yeah.
But it also will be, who doesn't want to buy a Gopher jersey with the last name that says Beers on it?
Yeah.
So we'll see if the slinger Wisconsin native is able to make his first career start. But, Luke, that's the thing, is they got to figure it out up front. I'm tired of watching these slow starts. Talked to the offensive coordinator and Greg Harbaugh today. I mean, he's going to say all the things, like you said, where they got a ton of confidence in these guys. They've had a good week of practice. I mean, I can count on one hand in my 14 years now of covering this team, or maybe it's 13. I don't remember. The amount of times a coach has come in and said, yeah, we've been just horrible at practice. Godspeed for Saturday. Fans, Godspeed. So what are they going to say? But is there anything that you would be looking for offensively other than you want to see more continuity up front? You want to see more knockback. You want to see a lot less missed assignments. But this is also a pretty competent defense coming in from the Mountain West.
Yeah, I think you want to see them be efficient and effective. And I think you still want to see them take what the defense gives you. Yes, yes, you want to be able to see them run the ball better. But, you know, we really saw in the game against Rhode Island, they were basically daring them to pass. And they just kept taking that and started to become very efficient and effective on offense. Just continue to lean into that. And that to me is what I want to see for the remainder of the season, right? Don't force something that's not there. We've already seen they haven't been able to run into stacked boxes. You know, find if you can find effectiveness in the passing game and force them to play the pass a little bit more, maybe that'll open up the run game.
It'll be curious because this Nevada defense, I'd say, is more 3-4 than 4-3. There's some 5-down lineman stuff as well. But I think the book is pretty well written on what you should do against Brian Callahan offensive lines in September. You're going to stunt. You're going to twist. You're going to move right before the snap. You're going to do all those different types of things. It's just you're going on game 3 now if you're the Minnesota Moving Company up front. You've seen 2 games worth of that already. One against the Power 4 competition level in North Carolina with their 300-pounders, and then some smaller guys last week. This week against Nevada, you'll have a little bit of both. So it's time for them to start to figure it out up front and stop having as many missed assignments as they continue to have.
All right. Are there a couple of players on the Nevada defense that we should pay attention to?
Well, the one that I think a lot of people were hoping that it would come to be true is Caden Johnson. People remember him back from, I think it was 2019, 2020, one of the two. The former Minnehaha Academy linebacker.
Let me tell you a little story about Caden Johnson. All right.
Take me down memory lane, Luke.
I'm gonna take you back to his high school senior year. He was playing my alma mater in the state championship game, and he ran right down the middle of the field for an open touchdown from Jalen Suggs. So, yep, that happened, and we lost, and it wasn't particularly close. So,
yeah, that Jalen Suggs guy turned out to be a pretty good player.
Yeah, he was an all right athlete. Yeah, he was an okay athlete.
So Caden Johnson ends up choosing Wisconsin. A lot of consternation about that here locally. It doesn't work out for him the way he thought at Wisconsin. Didn't really see a ton of playing time for the Badgers. Ends up transferring back out in the spring. Heads to Nevada. Is actually a pretty good player for them through their first 3 games. But then ends up getting injured on a penalty in which I'm pretty sure he at least hyperextended his elbow. And I do not anticipate him playing this weekend, which is too bad because he was one of their best players defensively. I tell you that they're pretty good on the back end. They took a couple of transfers from Texas. It's a pretty good program to take places from, considering their head coach now, and Jeff Choate, came from Texas. One by the name of Kiton. You heard that. Kiton Crawford. It's Kiton, which is Titan with a K. Some of these names, man, I feel like I'm on a Key and Peele sketch constantly. But it just kind of is what it is. They got a couple of good edge guys, sans Caden Johnson as well. One by the name of, I'm not going to even pronounce this, first name of Henry. And then they got another one, by the name of Luke. I'm telling you, some of these names.
I got this one. It's Tangiaki Matthew. Oh, man.
Not a shot. I tell you, Christopher Ross is one that is also pretty adept at rushing the passer. So it's a defense that is much improved considering what they were the previous years. They play really, really hard. And that's what you would expect considering the new coach and all that. But I don't know that they necessarily have the bodies in the front 7 versus what they have on the back end. But it's going to be a test for Minnesota.
All right, let's switch over to defense then, and we'll talk about when the Gophers are on defense. Obviously, the kind of a tale of 2 games, right, in terms of the consistency as it relates to tackling. Minnesota tackled much better against Rhode Island, which you would expect. They did not tackle particularly well against North Carolina. And the results, I mean, they speak for themselves, Ryan.
They do. I mean, you've got one game where you continued on the trend of being one of the worst third down defenses in the country, where you allowed North Carolina's offense to convert 50% of their third downs. And then last week when the starters were in, Rhode Island converts 2 of 9, and the average distance to go is 11 yards on those third downs. And that is going to be a monumental key for me this week because they're facing one of the best third down offenses so far in the country in Nevada. Why have they been so good? Because Nevada does an outstanding job of getting to third and short. The amount of third down conversions they have that are 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3 are really, really good. And that's where when we were speaking to defensive coordinator Corey Heatherman today, he made the point of the number one key for Minnesota's defense, and I agree with him, is getting Nevada off track. Now, I'm going to talk a lot more about their quarterback, who some fans may remember. If the name Brendan Lewis sounds familiar to you, Number one, you're an elite college football mind because the Gophers played him back in 2021 when the Gophers and many tens of thousands of fans traveled to Boulder, Colorado to watch the Gophers win 30-0 over Colorado. He was the quarterback in that game as a redshirt freshman. He has come a long way since that day in Boulder. He has now become one of the best game managing quarterbacks, I think, at least at the group of five level. He has no turnovers this season. He is very adept with his legs. So that's going to be the key, Mr. Luke Buehr, is you're coming off a game where you had to keep the quarterback in check. You were just able to overwhelm Rhode Island's offensive line up front. They couldn't run the ball. And then the quarterback was constantly under duress. Well, this is an improved offensive line from what the Gopher defensive line is going to be facing from a week ago. I think the left tackle for Nevada is pretty dang good. Their right tackle is a much, much different story. So the key for Minnesota's defense, Luke, you have to be really good on early downs. If Brennan Lewis has to beat you with his arms, so be it. But you cannot let this Nevada offense, which, by the way, you're going to see some option in this game. You're going to see five wide receivers, and then you're going to see them go into a pistol full house. You're thinking, Ryan, what in the world is a full house formation? Think of the quarterback in shotgun. There's a player, a running back to his left, a running back to his right, and there's a running back behind him. You're going to see all different types of things in this game. So if the Gophers are not disciplined in whatever their keys are that Heatherman's got them learning, it could be a long afternoon, but they just have to be able to be disciplined and they have to be good on early downs.
All right. Yeah. You know, I'm very interested to see how this Gopher defense can attack this this Nevada offense. This Nevada offense from a, you know, doesn't seem to be able to throw the ball particularly well, Ryan, at least relative to some advanced metrics here. But I am curious to see if they can get after the quarterback and maybe get a few sacks.
Well, that's one of the things that is going to be key in this game is Brennan Lewis, Nevada's quarterback, has run for 16. That is 16 first downs through three games. If he's running for five first downs in this game, which if my Tartan High education is correct, 16 divided by five, 5.33. If he's running for five first downs in this game, there is going to be an irate Corey Heatherman on the sidelines. So they have to be able to keep him in check. And if you make Brennan Lewis beat you with his arm, that's where you want to be. But if Brennan Lewis, who has rushed for 18 times in the first two games, or in two of the first three games, I should say, it might be a long afternoon here in Dinkytown.
All right. Should we get to the facts and figures and then to your keys to the game?
I suppose.
All right, it's about that time. So this game, as Ryan mentioned, will be on September 14th at 2:30 p.m. This will be on BTN. Nevada opens the season 1-2. They're already one game ahead of the Gophers, and the Gophers come in 1-1. Currently, according to ESPN Bet, where I'm getting the odds from, the Gophers are a 14.5-point favorite, and the over-under is 43.5 as we stand today, Ryan. I do want to go back quickly, though, and review the last game, because we didn't talk about this on the breakdown. We did end up finding a spread, Ryan. That spread ended up being 23.5 in favor of Minnesota. There was no over-under. I hate to say it for you, but we again tied. We both got it correct. You picked 41-10, and I also picked 41-9. So we're once again tied as we continue on in the season. And if we go back to predictions from the preseason, Ryan, you picked this game 34-14, and I picked 27-21. Neither of us picked this as a coin flip game. If you remember, we classified basically every game, whether it was going to be a coin flip or not, and there were many coin flip games. This was not one of them. And then, Ryan, we should probably jump over and actually look at the weather on Saturday. So it does look like there's a chance for some AM showers. Shouldn't matter though. For this 2:30 kick, I think the showers should have moved out. A lot can change as we know from there. But at 3 p.m. looks like it's going to be about 76 degrees for kickoff, right around kickoff. And then as the game ends, it'll be about 75 degrees, maybe 76 degrees. It should just be a beautiful day for football. Could be fairly overcast, but that's okay after such a sunny game last week. So, and I don't think the wind should play much of a factor either. Should be pretty low wind. So it just seems like a good, you know, late summer football game, Ryan.
It does. I'd also tell you, I know a lot of our listeners might dabble in some betting. The betting line on this game is interesting. It is. It opened as the Gophers were 2 touchdown favorites. They're -14.5. As we currently sit here in time on Wednesday evening, the Gophers have been bet up to 17.5.
Where are you getting this? Because I have ESPN bet at 14.5. Where are you getting? Oh, I missed it. It did move. That was the open. My bad. I stated the open. You're right. It's at 17.5. I got to update my spreadsheet. My bad.
So I'm on VegasInsider.com,
yeah,
which uses, I think, all the different betting sites. It's interesting because what is the injury news that Vegas thinks they know, or maybe they're higher on the Gophers in this game than maybe I'm going to be? A little foreshadowing to later. But that's a lot of points to carry in a game that, I tell you, I don't think there's going to be too many possessions in. I guess it comes down to which offense do you think is going to be more efficient when they get to the red zone, if they do get to the red zone. But it's a lot of points to cover. And within that, I think that 17.5 number is very interesting because the Gophers could win this game, say 30-13, which is right about what Vegas thinks. And guess what? You don't cover because that's that 0.5. I'd also tell you the other thing I want to note before I get to the keys to the game here. Can you guess how many times the Gophers have played a Mountain West opponent?
All time or over what span?
All time.
Let's go with 13.
So I have this note from Carl Anderson, who is one of the lovely folks within the Minnesota Sports Information Department. Does an outstanding job, Carl. We appreciate you. I know you're a loyal listener. The Gophers are 14-3 against the Mountain West.
Oh, I'm so close. Four off.
82% all-time winning percentage, and they are 10-1 against Mountain West opponents in Minneapolis.
Carl, how can I get this information? All the facts and figures, Ryan gets all the interesting ones. I only get the ones in the public domain. You can tweet at me, Luke Buer, LukeBuer.
You know, the best part is I just messaged you what he sends out because we in the media have access to it. But guess what? So does the public as well. So
look at this.
We'll start implementing these because I know Carl works very hard on these.
Yeah, we got to get these.
They deserve to get a little bit more recognition than in my keys or in my facts and figures in my game previews.
Yeah, Carl, great work. I like this. I'm scrolling through. I really like this. This just made...
So while Luke scrolls, I suppose we should get to the keys to the game.
Yeah, we do need to get to the keys to the game. But yeah, this is great stuff. I love this.
So my number one key for the Gopher offense is I want to see them find something resembling traction in the running game. The reality is the starting trio of running backs, Darius Taylor, Marcus Major, and Jordan Newbin, have combined to run for 153 rushing yards in 2 games. That is a putrid 76 yards per game, or an even worse 3.25 yards per carry, considering the opponents. Now, with Big Ten play just a week away, the Minnesota Moving Company and offensive line coach Brian Callahan, they got to start to figure it out this weekend. We saw the Gophers abandon their offseason plan of Edina's and former Notre Dame offensive lineman Quinn Carroll moving inside after just 1 game. So he was back out at right tackle where he started 2022, 2023 in that Rhode Island contest. That meant Martez Lewis was sliding back into guard. He ends up getting benched 2 series into the game in favor of Ashton Beers, the redshirt freshman. So my question is, what do we see in game 3? Now, if it was me, and no one is going to listen to me, certainly not offensive line coach Brian Callahan, I'd start Beers at guard. And I wouldn't be afraid to mix in Phillip Daniels at right tackle for a few series. And if that's the case, you slide Carroll back into right guard. Figure out what your best combination is between push, not back, lack of missed assignments. Now, I'd also say if I was the offensive coordinator and Greg Harbaugh, which I certainly am not, the one thing I would try to implement a little bit more this week against Nevada is more gap scheme runs. So Minnesota, as many of you know, very, very heavy into the zone running scheme, whether it's inside, mid, outside zone. We don't see a ton of gap scheme from them, so think pullers on the offensive line. Why not mix that in this week? Because in a gap scheme, the Giants on the offensive line, who might not have the best foot speed, don't have to chase undersized and stunting Mountain West defensive linemen. Now, I'd note, The thing with the running game is this is not where you exactly want to attack Nevada. They rank 62nd as a college football defense and expected points added per rush, according to the lovely people at College Football Insiders, which is led by friend of the podcast, Parker Fleming.
Yeah, this is pretty. Have you looked at the updated site? Like, it's really nice. And
it's very, very visually friendly. It's very mobile friendly. I'm a big fan.
Oh, yeah. It's a big improvement. I used to have to like scan his Twitter for this, and this is wonderful.
So they rank 62nd in college football against the run, more or less in EPA per run. That's about dead average, maybe a little bit above average, considering 134 FBS teams. They rank 104th as a defense in EPA per dropback. It's part of why each of the first three opponents against Nevada have dropped back to pass 38 or more times. It's a lot of times you're dropping back to pass. So whether that's Minnesota throwing the ball quite a bit, they're also going to need their backs to be better. As much time as I've spent on the Minnesota Moving Company, the other reality that is the truth, and as Luke often says, the truth cannot be controversial. Darius Taylor, Marcus Major, and Jordan Newbin have combined to miss 5 tackles on 47 carries. I'll put it in a different way. They have 47 carries as a trio. They have forced 5 missed tackles in 2 games. That's not where you want to be. So it's not just the offensive line. It's also the tailbacks. They got to start to get things cleaned up in this game. I would just tell you, because of how often teams are dropping back against Nevada, don't be surprised if Brosmer throws it another 30 times in this game. Now, defensively, the key to the game is getting off the field on third down. And that starts with not letting Brendan Lewis, the Nevada quarterback, beat you with his legs. I mentioned it earlier. Minnesota has already played Brendan Lewis once, but that was a very long time ago. That was 3 years ago now, back in Boulder when he was a redshirt freshman. He was sacked 4 times, went 8 of 16 for 55 yards and lost a fumble. He's been a very different player this year since he's been working in a new offensive scheme. He's completing 66% of his passes, 5 passing touchdowns, and no interceptions. He's also their leading rusher when you look at attempts, and he's also got a rushing touchdown. So what it's going to be is the Gopher defense has to be disciplined, because this Nevada offense is going to run option. They're going to run 5 wide. Essentially, everything you're going to see is out of shotgun. But they have some talented backs. They have some talented skill guys. But you have to be better on first and second down, because Nevada currently ranks 19th in college football as they're converting 55% of their third downs. That's where you want to be. And why are they converting so many? Because they're constantly in third and short. So Minnesota's got to be really good on early downs. And that comes down to, I think, the defensive line. The defensive ends can't get too deep on their rush, so let Lewis can break contain. The defensive tackles have to keep their eyes on the quarterback, that if he breaks up the middle, shed a block, get hands on him. And then maybe most importantly this weekend is going to be the center of the field. The linebackers and the safeties are going to have a very difficult mental test. There's a lot of keys with option teams or just the things that Nevada is trying to implement offensively. And if you have one missed assignment, that could be an explosive play. But it starts and ends with Brendan Lewis. If you can shut down his legs, shut down the running game, and not allow him to pick up third downs, as I've mentioned, he has run for 16 first downs in 3 games. Shut down the running game, that's where you want to be. And then, Luke, I know better. I learned my lesson after the first week, and you know I did. Your favorite part of every single preview episode, me praying to the heavens. Sweet giblets and junipers, Mr. Luke Bjork. Can the special teams give me one explosive play?
I was actually going to ask you about this. I don't know that I gave you a hard time about this on the breakdown, but did you consider the Coy Parrish punt return a explosive play?
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I went back, and I have to be fair to special teams. I know it's somewhat a bit, but it's not a bit. I'd said this to Luke in our group chat, but before Coy Parrish's 28-yard punt return in garbage time last week, it had been 61 games since the Gophers had a punt return go for that distance. I wish I was kidding, but sadly I'm not. That was the longest punt return Minnesota has had since Demetrius Douglas housed one in 2018 against Wisconsin. How sad is that?
It is a bummer, but you know what? Change your best, and Coy Parrish did, and you know what? Maybe we will have the fortune of seeing him return punts going forward.
Again, it's unfortunate for Quentin Redding, which we'll find out 2 hours before the game if my intel is correct, that his injury is more serious than maybe what was thought initially. I guess there was no thoughts initially because Fleck refuses to address injuries, but I anticipate him being out for this game, so we'll find out. Does Coy Parrish return punts? I'll say this, Luke. I want nothing, absolutely nada, to do with Daniel Jackson returning kicks or punts.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Nothing. Nothing at all. He is far too valuable to the offense as a whole, where maybe you have this guy on defense. You might have heard from him from Esco. He's a 15-snap-a-game role on defense. You can afford to have him get hit a couple of times a game, either as a punt returner or as a kick returner. You can't afford to put those extra wear and tear on a Daniel Jackson who already missed most of fall camp with an injury. Or maybe you throw back Christian Driver. Maybe you throw back Christian Hoskins. But what I'm going to guess we see if Redding can't go is Lamecki Brockington and Jordan Newbin returning kicks, which I have thoughts and feelings on that, but I'm not PJ Fleck or Bob Ligashevsky. And then I'll be very curious to see what they do on punt return.
All right, so let's.
Coy Parrish is truly number three, which last week would lead you to believe that he was behind Quentin Redding and then behind Daniel Jackson. You'd hope that the assumption of rational coaching kicks in and says Daniel Jackson is not somebody who should get an extra couple of hits a game. Coy Parrish can.
Yeah. I'm going to push back on that he's actually number three. I think those kind of depth charts should be kind of week to week. And it was more like Daniel Jackson's two because he's a more senior guy and can get in and just, you know, fair catch the ball if needed. You know, he didn't end up doing that. But then, you know, give Coy a week to prepare, know he's going to be the starter, et cetera. That's kind of what I'm hoping for.
I mean, what I hope for and what I actually think I'll see are very different things.
Yes.
Because we've seen them throw back Brock Anixted. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have Brock Anixted catching some strays here. What in the world is he doing back there catching punts? In what world is that man dynamic? He's a lot of things in life, but peace and love to Brock Anixted. If this gets to you, no ill will. But I'd love to see something. I mean, it's just, you didn't attempt to block punts last week when Joey Gerlach could have blocked at least one, I think, if he would have gone full-out effort.
He would have tried,
I'm not questioning his effort. I'm sure he was told, don't go block it. You're going to be assigned this up man. I want to see them block a kick. I want to see them return up something for a touchdown. If there was ever one more game on the schedule to work on it before Iowa comes to town and get a little bit better, it's the Nevada game. So please, oh please, special teams, do something that's explosive.
All right, let's get into the prediction here. Just a reminder that the live spread, as we're recording this, is 17.5. Minnesota is favored, and the over-under is 43.5. Ryan, I am going to go first this week. I think I've made you go first the last couple weeks. Generally, I was really encouraged with the offensive output that we saw. I do think this defense obviously will be better that the Gophers are going to see, and I'm curious to see if the Gophers can continue their defensive success. I'm just really hopeful that Max Brosmer has found a comfort level in playing in this Gopher offense and playing at home. And I'm hoping that he will continue his really good play. And as you mentioned, I was going to cite here, you know, Nevada ranks 104th in EPA per dropback, right? I think we are going to see the Gophers throw a little bit. I was trying to hint at this in terms of them being opportunistic and taking what the defense gives them. I'm hoping that we see a big day again from the receivers and Max Brosmer, even if it's just a check down. Ryan, I am predicting a Minnesota victory at 31-14. So with a 31-14, I did take I did take Nevada to cover, but I did take the over just barely on both.
Interesting. I'd say one more note before I give my prediction. Part of why Nevada is 1-2, and they just lost a game last week to Georgia Southern, where I led with it to start this podcast. They ran 87 offensive plays and only scored 17 points. How does that happen? It's not just turnovers. They are one of the most penalized teams in the entire country. In fact, they are the most penalized team in the entire country.
Well, but they played three games, so.
Which is what I'm getting to, okay. Mr. Luke Buehr. Okay. because Minnesota historically is one of the most disciplined teams penalty wise in the Fleck era. Consistently year after year, Minnesota's top 20 in the least amount of penalties. Well, so far through three games, Nevada has 29 penalties and 260 penalty yards. Now, that would rank bottom 10, and it does, in all of college football in penalties per game, just under 10. And they have 87 penalty yards per game. Now, if you're going to tell me that the Wolfpack are going to continue to gift free first downs, that's going to be a big factor. I have if it has not been evidently clear here, I have a ton of respect for first-year Nevada coach Jeff Choate. They were a just dreadful Mountain West program, and he's made them a respectable one in just a few games. I think this is going to be closer than fans think. And while I have Minnesota winning this game, I tell you, I think it's a one-touchdown lead into the fourth quarter. Max Brosmer finds Jamison Gears to put them up two scores. And then Brendan Lewis throws his first pick of the season as the Gophers get to the Iowa game 2-1. Minnesota wins 27, Nevada 16. So that is a Nevada cover, and that is an under.
All right, so look at us. Look at us.
You have an over, I have an under. I got to be a little bit different.
Yeah, you had to be a little different. I appreciate you deviating. I am very comfortable with my over. I will take that to the bank here. So let's preview some Big Ten games. How does that sound, my friend?
Let's get to it.
Okay. First of all, do you have a Big Ten game in mind that you are most looking forward to that we can start with?
Oh, I guess I would have to say Badgers versus Bama, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, I feel like that is the case for most. But I have to tell you the one that I am most excited about. This is the Apple Cup. This features Washington State at Washington. This is going to be on Peacock for all y'all. So make sure you get your Peacock machine set up and ready. This is a 2:30 kick. Washington is a 4.5-point favorite. And there's nothing like an in-state border rival. And you know what? I hate the Cougs.
So what is your prognostication on what is projected to be a very close Apple Cup, Mr. Buehler?
I do think that I think Washington will run away with it. I think they'll win by 10.
Okay. Well, if you're a betting man, you're going to take Washington in the 4.5 there pretty easily then.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, sorry. I just wanted to. This is one of the few times.
This is your week. It's the Apple Cup. I get it. It's the Apple Cup. Washington Huskies guy.
I'm gonna have the Gopher game on. I'm gonna have the Apple Cup on. So it's gonna be a two TV house if I don't end up making it to the Gopher game. Otherwise, I'll just have the Apple Cup on my phone. So, okay, let's talk about. Let's run through these games just real quickly. Number 4 Alabama visits Wisconsin. It's 11 a.m. kick. This is Fox's big noon game of the week. Alabama is a 16-point favorite, and it is a 50.5 over/under.
I don't know what to think of Wisconsin. I feel like I've said that on this podcast, and that doesn't really further the conversation from any college football fans listening to this. But I think we're going to find out more about Wisconsin in this game than we will about Alabama. I think eventually Alabama ends up running away with this game. But Wisconsin is just such an enigma to me because they've been so inefficient as an offense. Or just the games that they've played, I mentioned it, it's Western Michigan leading at Camp Randall into the fourth quarter. It's South Dakota within a touchdown going into the fourth quarter. And while I know that they're 2-0, it's such a weird game to try and think about because Bama didn't exactly show up until the fourth quarter against South Florida. So we're going to see if Bama gets their explosive playmakers going. I mean, your guy, Caleb DeBoer, I think we know is quite adept at running a very explosive offense. Mm-hmm. But I want to see what the Badgers do offensively in this game. I think Wisconsin's defense keeps it close, but doesn't end up doing it for 60 minutes. But I want to see, is there any fight in this Wisconsin Dairy Raid year two for your favorite Badgers?
All right. Arkansas State visits number 17, Michigan, another 11 o'clock game. This one on BTN. Michigan's a 23.5-point favorite in a get right game where the over under is 47.5.
What do you got against the Red Wolves of Arkansas State, who have taken down a couple of juggernauts in Central Arkansas and Tulsa so far?
I got no issues. I just don't think they're going to the Big House and do it. And you know what? If they prove me wrong, you know, blessings to them.
I want to see if there's a quarterback change in this game. Now, I'm sure there won't be. I'm sure Davis Warren will be the guy. But in 2 weeks' time, USC comes to town and then Minnesota. And they have a lot of things to figure out before USC comes in 10 days. So do they start to get a little bit more knockback from their own offensive line? Because that's where Texas gave it to them last week, was up front. Let's see if they respond now that Sherrone Moore actually has a contract. I don't know if you've seen that whole debacle.
I did see that. That's kind of funny. Yeah, that's on him. He could absolutely have just said, I'm not coaching, and, you know, force that issue, but that wasn't the case. Okay, Central Michigan visits Illinois. This is an 11 a.m. game on Peacock. This is your cheapest game of the week at $5, according here to ESPN. Illinois is a 19-point favorite with a 49.5 over-under.
I think with Illinois, it's just finding out, do they want to show up after arguably the biggest home win of the Brett Bielema era? It was a sold-out Memorial Stadium, big win, late win. Now a MAC team that I don't think Central Michigan's expected to win the conference, but it's still a MAC team coming into your own building. Is there a Bowling Green type of situation? Do you actually take care of it? I mean, if so, you're going to set up a pretty big matchup next week on Friday night when they have to travel to Nebraska. Both would be 3-0, but let's see if Illinois shows up for what it could be, a sleepy 11 a.m. game on Peacock.
All right, another in-state rivalry. This will feature number 9 Oregon in Corvallis against Oregon State, a 2:30 kick on Fox. Oregon is favored by 16. The over-under is 50.5.
Does Oregon show up at any point? Is my question with this game.
Isn't that been the story of the year, though?
Like, they, Idaho and Jason Eck give them a big run for their money, and then they need, I mean, Boise State does whatever, Boise State did whatever they wanted to, 34 points. Now, they have arguably what is the best running back in college football at Boise State, but I want to see if Dan Lanning can figure it out against a rival, because you know that Oregon State has all the repercussions of, we lost our head coach, we lost our conference, and they haven't played anyone in Idaho State and San Diego State.
Yeah.
And this is essentially the only ranked game that they have on the schedule this year.
This is literally us against the world, Ryan, period.
So let's see if Oregon decides to bow up a little bit before they start to get into the meat of their Big Ten schedule.
All right, number 18 travels to Purdue at a 2:30 kick. This will be Notre Dame is favored by 10, 45.5 over-under.
Why? I don't understand with Purdue. Why did they have a bye week after the opener? I'm sure they don't really get a say in that, but you got a bye week to prepare for Notre Dame. You just watched what PJ Flex, best friend in Thomas Hammock, the senior sideline boys themselves, which if you haven't seen that clip, I'd encourage you to Google it. PJ Fleck and Thomas Hammock, the Northern Illinois head coach, go way back to their Northern Illinois days. But let's see what Ryan Walters has got, because Notre Dame can't afford another slip up here.
No.
And then you look at Notre Dame's schedule. I mean, they don't have the most daunting of schedules here going forward. Now, I say that as they just lost to Northern Illinois, but you have USC at the end of the season, then you get Louisville at the home at the end of the month. But let's see what Ryan Walters can do off a bye, if he can make it a little interesting for everybody's favorite team.
How excited are you for Prairie View A&M at Michigan? This is a 2:30 kick on
Michigan
BTN.
State, you mean?
What?
Prairie View against Michigan State, not Michigan?
Oh, yeah. Did I say Michigan? I meant Michigan State. Yeah, at Michigan State in East Lansing. There's a 2:30 kick on BTM. There's absolutely no line and no over-under that I can find.
Aiden Chiles might be my favorite quarterback to watch in the Big Ten, because he does not give a flying F.
No.
He chucks the ball, like chucks it everywhere. I mean, you look at his stat line, he's completing 54% of his passes with 5 picks through the first 2 games. I had Daniel House look this up. On his dropbacks last week against Maryland, you know what his ADOT was, a.k.a. his average depth of target, a.k.a. how far down the field is he pushing the ball per throw?
19 yards.
14, which is that's astronomically high.
Yeah, that's super high.
Like, we're talking about a dude last week, Aiden Chiles, Michigan State's quarterback, who threw the ball 39 times. The average distance the ball flew down the field was 14 yards. That's insanely high. My man is only going for home runs. And that's why he's got five picks. But Joe Rossi against Prairie View A&M, Godspeed.
All right, Troy is traveling to Iowa City, where they'll take on the Iowa Hawkeyes at 3 p.m. on FS1. Iowa is a 22-point favorite, and the over-under, are you ready? 38.5.
So Vegas is thinking something like, I don't know, what is that, 34 to 10, mm-hmm. something like that?
Yep.
I'd say this. I expect Iowa to roll. I expect Cade McNamara to look better. And Troy is not a very good football team after being one of the best teams in the Sun Belt the last couple of years. They lost to Nevada to open the season for them. They lost to Memphis last week, who Memphis, I think, might give Florida State the business for their third straight loss this weekend. That's going to be one I'm going to keep an eye on. But I expect both teams to be 2-1 going into that Florida-Rosedale showdown next weekend.
All right, Northern Iowa travels to number 23, Nebraska. This is a 6:30 kick on BTN, and there's no line.
Yeah, this is the same Northern Iowa team that was losing to a former MIAC team into the fourth quarter last week. Look, if there's some Tommies listening to this for whatever the reason, I got no respect. As a former St. Olaf guy, I got nothing positive to say about the St. Thomas Tommies. Peace and love.
All right. But you want to add more to this? I was like, I was going to cut you off right there.
Let's keep moving.
Okay. Arguably, maybe one of the most interesting games of the Big Ten this week, for my money, will feature Indiana at UCLA at 6:30. This is on NBC. Indiana is favored by 3 with an over-under of 46.5.
Indiana looks like a juggernaut through 2 weeks, considering they've played Western Illinois, who hasn't won a game since the Lyndon administration. And then they beat FIU 31-7. Whereas UCLA, I know nothing about because they've played one game. It was in Hawaii to open the season, and then they're coming off a bye week. I think we're going to learn a lot about two first-year head coaches and Deshaun Foster and Kirk Cignetti. I know that Daniel House and I have a bet that he thinks Indiana starts 6-0. If they're going to do so, they obviously have to win the game this weekend. I am rooting for UCLA in the Rose Bowl to show a little bit of backbone and show fans that maybe Indiana isn't destined to be the star in year one that you think they're going to be.
All right, another in-state rivalry, Eastern Illinois at Northwestern. This is a 6:30 kick on BTN, and there's no line.
Northwestern makes a quarterback change. They benched Mike Wright. They're going to be giving out somebody new here. I know that Northwestern's head coach talked this week about they wanted to make sure they valued the football. Some would say in the college football world in the Twin Cities that the ball is the program. That's why Northwestern's making a change, and now they get to face one of Luke's favorite Missouri Valley teams that is now in the Big South, who is coming off a 27-20 win over Indiana State. Northwestern's going to win this game, Luke, 20-0.
All right, and if you are a complete degenerate and you have the ACC network, which I actually don't know how you get it, but
what is the ACC network and why?
Maryland at Virginia at 7 p.m., where Maryland is a 2.5-point favorite at a 57.5 over-under.
Virginia's got one of my favorite quarterbacks in college football, and Anthony, I think it's Calidrea. My man chucks it. Like, if you think Aiden Childs chucks it, all this dude does is want to push the ball down the field vertically constantly. And then you have Mike Locksley, who all he wants to do is score points. And they're coming off a game that I imagine they think they should have won at home. This is going to be a good game. I wish it was on a TV network that I could actually get. It's the ACC network. But, yeah, if you're looking for the two closest games spread-wise, you got Indiana, UCLA on NBC. And then you got Maryland, Virginia, both projected to be within a field goal of one another, except you can watch one on syndicate television and you can watch the other one on something called the ACC network.
All right. We want to thank everyone for listening. We are excited to have Daniel House back to break down one more non-conference game after this game. And then we should be able to welcome back Derek Burns for conference play. We want to thank our sponsors, Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group, the Burns Insurance Agency, and Home Field Apparel. Please support them because they make this possible. Thank you again for listening, and go Gophers.